You're with Sounds Good, our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Austin Carter, and joined in studio by Tracy Ross and Kathy Hodge of the Humane Society of Callaway County.
Kathy, welcome back.
Good morning.
And as usual, you brought another sweetheart with you. This one has a pretty cool name, though.
he does. His name is Rhett Butler. Spelled exactly like you think it should be if you're a Gone with the Wind fan. So, and we call him both. I guess it's one of those Southern double name things, you know, where if he's in a little bit of trouble, he's Rhett Butler, and otherwise he's just Rhett. So, but he's a sweet boy.
And he's a big boy, too.
He is. We did bring a little bit larger than normal. He weighs 50 pounds, and he's 6 months old. So, and he is just solid as can be. He's a big dog, but just stout and, you know, nice looking, athletic kind of build to his body. And we've been interested in, you know, we're always talking about our breeds because it always is an issue here, of course, on the radio especially, until somebody gets on your Facebook page, can look at it and say, oh yeah, that's what they're talking about. But Rhett Butler was one of those where we really had a lot of discussion about what he might be. And we went through everything from an American Staffordshire Terrier all the way to a black, like a border collie lab mix, you know. So probably from that you can tell he's a black and white dog, mostly black with some acute white stripe on his face and white paws. And he's got a real short, slick coat, real shiny kind of pretty coat, long tail, just a real athletic, neat-looking dog.
And a man of few words, too,
he
I must
is.
Say.
Isn't that nice?
It's not bad.
It is not bad. I think as Foster said a while ago that they had him for 2 weeks before they knew he could bark. So I can't say that that's generally the case for all of our fosters. Most of them sort of go into barking mode at the beginning and then settle down as you go along, but and he's still not a very vocal dog. He comes to the office sometimes with Barbara, his foster, and we've got a kitten that will just terrorize every puppy that comes in, and so she can get him riled up enough to bark at her, but it takes some significant doing to get him to bark.
And I wonder how big Rhett will end up being. It's always
yes,
hard to
I
tell.
I know, it is, isn't it? And he's At 6 months, you wouldn't expect him to change dramatically. He's not going to double in weight or anything like that. But he can certainly get, you know, taller and longer and put on a few more pounds. So, but I wouldn't think he would top out above 65 or 70 at this stage of the game. He's a healthy dog. You know, he's not, he doesn't have, you know, health issues that have held him back in terms of his weight or anything. So he's probably exactly where he needs to be at this age. So I think the 70-ish area is probably going to be as far as he'll go.
And the pictures will be up on Facebook. Are they up now mm-hmm. already? Yeah, pictures are already up, so mm-hmm. you can go and check him out. He's mm-hmm. quite the charmer.
And he was. The thing I enjoyed about him today is that a lot of our dogs just get so excited. Even the little puppies just get so excited to be handled by everybody and talked to by everybody. And he sort of came in and looked in all the doors and thought that it was important to sort of check it all out. And then he just flopped down in the middle of the hall and put his chin down on the floor like, well, I'm going to wait to see what's next. So it's nice to see the older puppies especially do something that's that comfortable, you know, shows that comfort with a brand new environment.
With all the terrible weather we had yesterday, the tornado that touched down several times in Mayfield and the mm-hmm. damage up in Marshall County, I know that you were thinking, I hope those pets are microchipped.
Oh, I was. I mean, you know, after you get past the, oh my goodness, isn't this terrible and is everybody okay, then your next step is, are the animals okay too? And I know I saw on the news and heard on reports that several people had found their pets within the rubble and they were okay. And we were so, so grateful to know that that was the case, as I'm sure all their families were. But if they get separated, you know, you get a wider swath than we had yesterday, and the animals get separated from their owners and everybody's out looking for their black lab or their chihuahua or something, that microchip can make all the difference in getting them reunited quickly, because anybody that's rescuing those animals is going to try to get them to a vet clinic as soon as they can or someplace that's a focal point for the animals. And the first thing they're going to do is scan for a microchip. And then not only are you you looking for Sadie or Black Lab, then Sadie's, the people who have Sadie are also looking for John Jones, the odor of Sadie. And then somebody's going to know that John's at that hotel over there, and that's where they stayed last night. And everything just goes so much faster. And anything that's a positive out of a tragedy like that is a good thing.
With most things, you don't really realize, oh, I should have microchipped my pet, until you reach the point that you wish you had microchipped your pet.
Oh, indeed, indeed. And I've even had, I've had at the office people, two circumstances that I can think of, that where people had said, oh, I'm going to get that done, but I'm going to wait until it gets spayed, or I'm going to wait until I have the money, or I'm going to wait, you know, for whatever. And in one instance, well, in both instances, the dogs were taken. One was taken just out of the road right in front of the people's house, and the other one was actually further away from the home, but also was taken. And the people that took the dogs were not really trying to, they weren't out stealing dogs at random particularly, but they liked the dog, you know, and they just decided they wanted to keep it. So they tried to make people, the law enforcement included, believe that those dogs belong to them as opposed to the person who actually owned it. And one of the owners in particular, she said, I just never dreamed. She said, I hadn't had the dog 3 days and it got picked up. I was going to get it microchipped when I got her spayed next week. And so in that period of 7 days, the dog was picked up off the side of the road. They had to find it. They had to, you know, she had to have photographs and stuff, which thank goodness she did, to identify the dog. But it was, yeah, it's just the strange things happen, and you just feel like, as with tornadoes, you know, you just feel like, oh, it's never going to be here. It's never going to be me. It's never going to be my dog. And the microchips are so simple to do and so sort of innocuous to your dog. You know, they're not going to respond any more negatively to having a microchip put under their skin than they do for their vaccinations when they go. So if they're sort of a little wimpy dog and gonna scream to high heaven when they get their vaccination, they'll probably do the same thing with the microchip. And if they just flick it off like it's no big deal, they'll do the same with the microchip. It's not any worse or better than any kind of inoculation. So it's really, it's just something that people really need to seriously think about and not put off, because you never know. Like I said, as in yesterday, I mean, even the weather people were not really expecting anything of the magnitude that came through. So you just don't know from day to day.
And finally, let's just talk about something that people should definitely not just think about, but do, and that's vaccinate their dog for heartworms.
Oh my goodness, yeah. It was on my mind because we had, we tested 6 dogs in the last 2 weeks. 4 of them were heartworm positive. And it just brought to the forefront how plentiful the mosquitoes are here that are carrying the heartworms. And it's really to the point where it's just such a rare occasion that you're going to have an adult dog that hasn't had preventative measures taken that's not going to develop heartworms over the course of its life. And wouldn't be such a big deal, except untreated heartworms will kill your pet. So it's not like there's I can just sort of give it a little something after it gets it and it'll be all better. You know, it just doesn't go that way. It's a deadly, deadly issue. The heartworms are carried by the mosquitoes. And I would encourage anybody that just wants to educate themselves on heartworms in general to go to the American Heartworm Society website. They are sort of the gold standard of heartworm information. And the American Heartworm Society's website is particularly easy to understand for all of us folks who are not scientists and don't want to get into the whole veterinary end of things, but just want to understand how it all works. And it's extremely helpful. And it has a map on there that in all different shades of reds and orange and yellows, you know, that shows you where the prevalence of heartworms is particularly bad. And, you know, starting down in the Mississippi Delta and coming straight up to us is what we see. And I know even over the 10, 15 years that I've been watching that map, the area here in the whole Ohio River Valley, in this Mississippi, Ohio area, is just gotten wider and wider out from the river and darker red, and that neither one of those are what you want to see. But they're, it's just not something you can afford to take for granted. And the your veterinarian can tell you there's so many different kinds of preventions now. We used to not have very many choices, and now there's pills and treats and shots that last for 6 months and just all sorts of things. And so you can sort of do what you can talk to your veterinarian about it. He'll help you, he or she will help you figure out what's the right thing for you to do, both economically and what your dog or your cat will withstand the best and all those things. So just need to go to your veterinarian and see what you should be doing, because the heartworm treatment, once they get them, is I don't see anybody that does treatments for any size dog, you know, less than a few hundred dollars, and it's all the way up into $800 and $900. So you can buy a whole lot of monthly preventative tablets or pills for the money that you're going to spend on that treatment. And the treatment, because it does impact the heart, the worms, you know, do impact the heart, can have some negative side effects. So if, like a lot of things, it's just better if you tackle it on the front end and do the preventative from the beginning, and that your money will be better spent and your animals will be a lot healthier.
All right. Well, Kathy, thank you so much for coming by and bringing the adorable Rhett Butler with you.
Thank you.
We're Murray State's WKMS, your home for music and news that sound good.